Good evening. Glad you are with us tonight. Trying to get myself situated here. We're going to begin, of course, with Scripture. Always a great place to start. I'm so delighted that you are a part of our outreach tonight. Hello, Visible Church. Hello, those who are in other churches and other places, and those who are just new to viewing what we have to offer. We're going to begin with a very familiar Scripture, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It's kind of where I ended the last time I preached a full message. He said to them, Jesus is speaking here, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, the church has an awesome task in these last days. I do believe we're in the last days, and I don't have time to explain all of that. I don't mean like the last, like this might be our last week, but I mean that we're in an era of the end times as we move ahead through our current history. Interesting things are happening. But nonetheless, we are in that great position where we can reach all of creation with the gospel. Notice he said, preach it to every creature. Every creature. That means, believe it or not, people outside of the gospel, Pentecostal, charismatic circles that we tend to run around in. I mean, we're talking about different people, different denominations, different colors, different nationalities, different political persuasions, different ideologies, different social classes. There's a whole world out there that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to reach. And the church, I believe, has never been better equipped to fulfill God's call than it is right now. I mean, obviously, God has given us the gift of apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the church in your life and my life today. Those are great aids to preaching the gospel to the whole world. But we also have modern technology, things that weren't available not too long ago. We have, you know, well, books. They've been around a while, but still it's a great way to share the gospel. We have other tools like radio and television and smartphones and the internet and satellites that are beaming around the world. We are in such a great place to be able to reach the entire world with the gospel as Jesus commanded us to do. And yet still, with all of these advantages that we have in our modern day, there are still obstacles that hinder our success. And I believe the biggest obstacle, or at least certainly one of the biggest obstacles, is that we have burned many bridges. You know, we'll never fulfill God's commission until we stop burning bridges and until we start building bridges. I hope you're catching what I'm saying here. We have burned a lot of bridges out of ignorance, out of stupidity, and sometimes we've actually purposely burned some bridges to other areas of the world, to other people outside of our charismatic, full gospel Christian circles. We've separated ourselves in way too many ways. You know, the church is notorious for burning bridges that span custom and tradition, that span prejudices, that span all kinds of differences of opinion. We've become, in many ways, and sadly to say, we have become in many ways an island unto ourselves. We have created a very comfortable atmosphere for ourselves, and we hang out with the folks we like to hang out with, and we often neglect the Great Commission. Well, God created a bridge for us that would span the greatest chasm of all time, that is the chasm between a holy God and a sinful man. Thank God he did it. And when he had accomplished that, he set out to do the second greatest work. We find it in the book of Acts. We're going to spend a lot of time in that passage of Scripture tonight. He built a bridge to span that chasm between God's chosen people and the rest of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, for this time together, for saints who are faithful, for those who are hungry for your word, for those who desire to fulfill the Great Commission and the specific purpose that you have set out for their lives. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a God of personal interaction, that you don't look at us as one just huge mass group. You look at us as individuals, and you gift us uniquely for the part that we play in your body. And I pray, Lord God, that in us a desire rises up to fulfill the purpose that you've called us to fulfill the calling of the church at large, but to fulfill the calling in our own individual lives. Lord, inspire us and spark that flame in us to be hungry for souls, to be hungry, Lord God, to do your will, to follow hard after you, to live in obedience. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 10, we're going to go there. This is one of my favorite passages, actually, of Scripture, just because of what takes place in this bit of Scripture. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read quite a bit here, so hang in there with me. If you've got your Bibles, I hope you'll follow along. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision, an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Now here's, I just have to pause for a moment. Here is a Gentile, someone outside of God's chosen people, that the Lord is visiting, an angel of the Lord is speaking to him, and he is going to share with him some important information, but I'm going to make a point about that here in just a moment. He says, Cornelius, and he was afraid. But he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called to two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So he had explained all these things to them and sent them to Joppa. Now, the point I want you to really grasp in this is God had Cornelius's ear. He is speaking to Cornelius through this angel. And if God's desire was for Cornelius to be saved, you have to ask yourself, why didn't the angel share the gospel? The angel is right there. I'm sure the angel knows the gospel. But he did not have the angel share the gospel with Cornelius and his household. He told him to send for Peter. God has given us a tremendous responsibility. He could have angels do all of this. But no, he has put that in the hands of man. That ought to make you feel honored, but it also ought to make you consider how important it is for us to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. All right, let's move along. In verse 9, the next day as they went on their journey and they drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, they're preparing the food downstairs, while they're doing that, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him, and it was let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him. It said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And you know how this goes. Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything uncommon or unclean. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. This was not some heathen who was trying to entice Peter into some grave sin to break his religious vows and his oath. And even though this was the Father God speaking to Peter, telling him to go ahead and eat, Peter did just what most of the church would do. And that is, he stood on his tradition. And he refused to budge. He refused to go ahead with what God is trying to get him to do. "Surely not, Lord," he says. "I've never done that. I would never eat those things." Now, he might have had a biblical foundation to stand on, a reason to question this, but he wasn't just questioning it. He was just outright refusing. And he did several times. Verses 15 through 16, "And a voice spoke to him again the second time, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' This was done three times, and the object was taken into heaven again." So Peter argued with God basically three times. And I tell you what, that was his religion talking. That was his tradition talking. All right. Verse 17 out of chapter 10. "Now when Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him," now he's thinking about it. I like that, at least about Peter. He refused, but then he thought it over. He considered what the Lord had spoken to him. "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, and go down and go with them, doubting nothing.'" Ooh, that's a very strong statement. Doubting nothing. Because this is an unusual thing that's about to happen here. "Doubting nothing. For I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God, who has a good reputation among the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." And then he invited them in, and they lodged there. And on the next day, Peter went with them, and some men from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter is starting to show signs of getting the picture. He's starting to go along with what's taking place. And in the next verse, or in that last verse I just read, it says, he went with them and some of the brethren from Joppa. He went and took some of the brothers with him, took some other believers. So, in verse 24, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends." Now, in this era, there was a great chasm between the church and the world. The church, as new as it was, still held on to much of its past. They weren't willing to bridge that gap between the church, the believers, and their religion and the tradition that they held on to. They weren't willing to bridge that gap and reach out beyond the Jewish race. So God had to build a bridge. God used Peter and Cornelius to build this bridge. Now think about it. Where would you and I be if that bridge between the Jews and the Gentiles had never been built? I think about that a lot. Because I don't have, as far as I know, I don't have any bit of Jewish blood in my veins. But here I am in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If Peter and the rest would have stuck with their first inclination, that is, no way, these are unclean heathens, can't have anything to do with them. We are a people who are separate unto God. Can't do that. I don't want anything to do with them. Where would we be? And they could have stood on Scripture. They could have stood on Scripture. They could have come up with a whole bunch of Scriptures that said, nope, shouldn't do that, can't do that. Well, let's move on. Verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth,'" Peter gets it now, "'in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. I tell you, this is one of the most beautiful statements in the Bible. God does not show partiality. God is not holding to one sect of people above another. He shows no partiality. He looks for those who fear him and who work righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, a couple more scriptures here. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of these things. Peter is explaining all that took place. We are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. He's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. I'm just skipping through some scriptures here. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed, in other words, those who were the church, who thought these people were unclean, who thought these people shouldn't be dealt with, those people, the brethren that he brought with him from Joppa, they're seeing all that's taking place here. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Now I hope you're catching this. This is the whole point of my message. God moved the early church beyond their concept of Christianity, took them out of their comfort zone. God wants us to move beyond our limited, shallow, and sometimes narrow-minded current concept of what Christianity is all about. Now, let's be honest. It's natural for us to hang out with whom we are most like and whom we like the most, right? I mean, you've heard the phrase, birds of a feather flock together. That's natural. But the people who need Jesus in this region are not the ones who are part of a church. They're not in a good Christian church right now. They need us to move beyond the walls of this church, beyond the comfort zone of our own small-knit group. I tell you, these people are not watching their clocks on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, sitting in front of their computer waiting for our online service and outreaches to begin. They are not there. How are we going to reach them? The gospel is going out over social media and other forms, but how are we reaching those people who aren't tuned in? It's time for us to get off the island that we have built, this island that we hang out in, and build some bridges to some of those other islands. First, we have to kind of take off our own blinders. I mean, there's a big world out there, and oftentimes we don't even see it. Or when we do see it, we want to cover our eyes. We put our blinders on. Oh, no, not that. Oh, no, can't watch. Oh, that's, no. I tell you this. Jesus died for you that you might be saved, that you might be delivered, that you might be healed, but it wasn't just for you. Before we can be effective bridge builders, we first have to stop burning the bridges. We have to stop ignoring those around us because we dislike them, or we dislike what they stand for, or we dislike their opinion, we dislike how they operate in life. We have to stop burning those bridges. You know, and one of the biggest bridge burners for Christians today is, well, our sloppy lifestyles. If we're going to claim to be Christians, we need to live like Christians. You know, when we're at work, we need to operate in a Christian manner. We need to be outstanding in the work that we do because we are working as unto the Lord. I know that boss can be difficult, and I know those customers can sometimes get on your nerves, and I know there's all kinds of reasons that you just don't feel like putting in the best effort for that day, but I'm telling you, the world is watching. If they know you're a Christian, we're setting an example of one way or the other. We need to be cautious about the bridges that we're building and that we're not burning them behind us, where people see us and go, "Nah, no big deal there." When we're at school, when we're driving down the highway, you know, be courteous, be nice, be Christian. We need to live like Christians. When we're in the marketplace, we're at the store, be generous. Be gracious. The world is watching us. Now, another obvious bridge burner is prejudice on our part. We're prejudiced against age sometimes. Either we have a preference for the young or we have a preference for the old, but we very seldom span all of that gap. If you've got a prejudice against age one way or the other, you need to get over that. You need to let that be gone and build a bridge to those other age ranges. Obviously, prejudice against race, prejudice against other denominational folks. Be careful. You know, I am often discouraged when I hear people who take very seriously the folks that I call the heresy hunters, those who are always following other ministries and trying to find fault, trying to find that one little phrase that they can jump up and down about and scream, "Heresy, heresy, this is wrong, this is bad," and they've taken it a lot of times out of context. And even if they got it in the right context, I don't know that it is very beneficial for us as believers to be always mad and railing against other believers. You know, there are a lot of things that I believe today that I didn't believe 20 years ago. Well, I don't know if I can say a lot of things, but there are some things and important things where I've changed my position because I have thought through and I've gotten better teaching and the Holy Spirit has revealed more. And you know, that person that you are highly offended by may be just in the process of learning more. We need to be careful we don't burn those bridges with other people within the Christian community and also make a spectacle of ourselves as believers to the rest of the world. It just doesn't work that way. Well, and I could go on a lot about that, but I'm not going to. I'll move on. We've got to make sure that we're not prejudiced against other social status groups. You know, we should be just as open and welcoming to the banker as we are to the biker, to the you know, the waitress, as we are to the Wall Street moneymaker. All of those people need to be within the body of Christ, and we need to be accepting of them and not keeping them at arm's distance or not being comfortable enough with them to be open and honest and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And of course, in our day and age, we've got to throw in being prejudiced against sexual orientation. It's part of the world that we live in, and those people are loved by Jesus Christ, and they need to hear the gospel too. We need to be able to do it in a loving and kind way. We need to be able to do it in a very practical way. And we also need to do it in a way that is helping to restore them to the creation that God made them to be. All kind of tricky. But, you know, if you just ignore them, if you just put them aside and you never reach out, you never try and build a bridge to that community, they have no hope. All right. Before people can cross over the bridge that was built by Jesus to God and to salvation, they need to have the bridge. They need to find the bridge. And we are the ones that will help them find that bridge through the gospel, through the Great Commission, what Jesus Christ called us to do. And thank God we have the gospel. This is good news. It's good news. And we are the ones to lead others to that bridge. I know oftentimes we want to still hang out in our little comfy group, But it's time to start building more bridges outside of our group. Put your thinking caps on. While you've got some extra time, some of you have more time. Well, put your thinking caps on. How do we reach out to these in the groups that we've ignored, in those little islands that are beyond us that we haven't tried to build the bridge to? How are we going to build that bridge? You know, in this area, football's kind of a big deal. Maybe we should be thinking about creative ways to use that, to build a bridge. Be creative. The Apostle Paul knew how to build bridges. The Apostle Paul states it very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what he said. And again, you start thinking this way, and we're going to see some visible changes in our church and in our communities. The Apostle Paul said this, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law." Why? "That I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law." In other words, to the outlaws, to the sinners, to the folks who have nothing to do with God. What does he say? "To those who are without law, as without law." Not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, "that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Oh, man. "Now this I do," verse 23, "this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." We need to build, we need to talk. We need to build bridges. We need to get beyond ourselves and our own little preferences. We need to find those who are in need and find a way to reach them, find a way to relate to them, find a way. And I like the way that he put this when he was talking about those without law, but he, in parentheses in my Bible, says, not being without law toward God. In other words, I'm not going to go out and sin, but under law toward Christ, but I'm going to mingle with some, and I'm going to find ways that I can impart truth and life to them, not just offense and not just shun them. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. We have got to have enough creativity and Holy Spirit unction in us to get out of our comfort zone and help those who need Jesus Christ the most. Amen? All right. Well, I am so thankful again that you were part of what we are doing here, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of your smiling faces again. But until then, God bless you. Go in peace. Same, your gospel was new.